Now we return to the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where we've been studying for the last few weeks. Now this is the last but one, the penultimate of our messages on this amazing story, the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the father, the amazing father. So Luke chapter 15, this parable told in the context of the tax collectors and sinners, verse 1, coming to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law not liking that at all. And the parable is really about the Pharisees and the teachers. What will they do? What will the older brother do in this parable? How will he resolve his anger? Will he come good like the father and forgive his younger brother? That's the big question. We're going to focus in on that anger this morning. So turn to Luke 15 and verse 28, where the older brother sees the forgiveness that the younger brother has received from the father, the way the father has welcomed him, the way the father has lavishly provided for him on his return, notwithstanding all that the younger brother has done wrong. The offence, the upset, the cost, he's forgiven by his father and welcomed home. What amazing forgiveness. And we've thought about this forgiveness. I hope it has truly been a blessing to you, as it has to me, just to recognise the greatness of God's forgiveness again. However, something prevents the older brother from showing that same mercy. What is it that stops him from being merciful? Where we read in verse 28, the older brother became angry, refused to go into the celebration. It's his anger that's the problem. Now, this anger of the older brother is not, as the wider context of the parable shows, it's not an isolated thing. It's not uncharacteristic of this boy. He is an angry person. You know, you sometimes speak about people and say, well, she's a really angry person. Or he's got a real chip on his shoulder. When I was a young lad in Alness, one of my favourite television programmes was The Incredible Hulk in the late 70s. Dr. David Banner, who, because of an experiment that had gone wrong, turned into the Incredible Hulk when he became angry. And of course, his sort of famous line was, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." And some people are like that. They seem placid. They seem calm. But put them in a situation where they get angry, and they get very angry. And their anger is out of proportion to the thing that causes the anger immediately there. They blow their top. They lose their temper. They shout. They break things. They slam doors. "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." They turn into an Incredible Hulk. Well, what about yourself? What about myself? Does anger come easily to you? Does it come to you sometimes in such a way that you think, where did that come from? You think, why am I so angry? It's just a little thing. Why am I so angry? You see red. And people are saying, calm down. It's not that bad. But you're stewing inside. Why? What's going on? What's going on with this older brother? There are three things I think we can say about his anger. I hope they help you to understand what's going on. His anger is stored. His anger is stressed. And his anger is stormy. It's stored. It's stored, first of all. Just like the kids stored up, some of them did, their anger in that tin. It's stored. What do I mean by that? Well, there's anger that's just a one-off, isn't there? Like you're in a queue and someone you don't know skips in front of you in the queue, and you feel a bit angry about that, but if your anger just comes and goes quickly and then it's forgotten, that's fine, it's a one-off. But if you dwell on it and it spoils your day, it's a more serious thing. If you're still dwelling on that person who skipped the queue when you go to bed at night so that it disturbs your sleep, you really are storing it up in your life. The Apostle Paul quotes from Psalm 4 that we just sang there, "In your anger, do not sin." And then he says this, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." He says, you might be angry about something, but don't sin. And one of the ways that you sin is if you hold on and store that anger so you take it to bed with you. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, it's okay to be angry if there's a good cause. But you've got to find a way to channel that anger into doing something good. Anger can be constructive. Some of the greatest movements that this world has ever seen started with anger. They started with someone saying, that's not right. That's unjust. Things shouldn't be like that. People shouldn't be treating other people like that. And people got angry, but they turned their anger into something constructive. Sometimes we need to just turn it into forgiveness. We need to find forgiveness, a place of forgiveness. Sometimes we need to just go and speak to the person gently. A soft answer, as Proverbs says, turns away wrath. We need to do an act of kindness. We need to fix what's wrong. But we need to find a way to be constructive with it. If we don't, and we hold on to it, and we take it to bed, then next time we see the person who skipped the queue, what we'll think about is, there's the person who skipped the queue. And we'll be thinking about, wouldn't it be nice to get even with them some way? Unforgiveness is one of the things that happens when we hold on to anger. And one of the ways unforgiveness expresses itself is, you want to get even. You'll be glad to hear if they have a fault. You want to be the person even who causes the fault. But when we forgive, we relinquish the right to get even. And that can be really hard, because you really feel, maybe you know that the person deserves to have a fall. But that's not for you to determine, or it's not for you to make happen. Leave things to God. Remember what the scripture says? God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's not for you. For you, it's to find something constructive to do with your anger. So the older brother, he sees the younger brother treating his father very badly. The father, however, forgives the younger brother. But the older brother, he goes to bed with his anger every night, and it grows and it grows, and we have not seen the last of the older brother's anger. It's stored. Secondly, it's stressed. If we wake up with it the next day, then it's very much in storage. And if the same person skips the queue again, then that little anger circuit that we've wired up in our brain gets reinforced and it gets stronger. And if it continues to be reinforced day after day and week after week and year after year, then it'll become very dominant in our minds and we've got an anger problem. Our anger becomes a stress, becomes a pressure in our lives. Now I know that personally. I know it from my own experience, sadly. When I was a kid, I got angry. I had a good reason to get angry, because I saw what was happening on account of my father's alcoholism in my household. But I took it to bed with me, and I can remember taking it to bed with me many, many, many times. And I became very angry. very angry with it. It's not a good place to be. When you store your anger, you become an angry person. You become stressed with your anger. Reminds me very much of Tam O'Shanter's wife in Burns' poem. Kate, Tam O'Shanter's wife, has taken her anger to bed many's a day. And it's an issue. Boy, is it an issue with Kate. And now Tam sits in the inn quaffing ale, while at hame sits her sullen While at hame sits her sulky, sullen dame, gathering her brows like a gathering storm, nursing her wrath to keep it warm. That stored anger, that stressed anger. And when Tam comes home, even though his offence might not be particularly bad on this one occasion, he'll get the whole anger from all the other occasions for the last 20, 30, 40 years or whatever. Boy, he'll get a tirade from Kate. She has, of course, tried to remonstrate with him on many occasions, as Burns says, with lengthened sage advices. But she is not forgiven. And she is not forgotten. And she has reinforced those anger circuits in her mind. And she is a pressure cooker, with all the anger stored up and stressed within her. And a pressure cooker explodes. You get dinner all over the walls. And that's what's going to happen with Kate. And that's what's going to happen with the older brother as well. An explosion. Jesus warns us against this. It's destructive. He warns us, as we read in Matthew 18, to forgive. Not seven times. Peter thought he was pretty good. If he could forgive seven times, boy, he was in the top league of forgivers. Jesus said no. 77. Or 70 times 7. Just, you've got to forgive, Peter. And you've got to never stop forgiving, no matter how much provocation you get, or there'll be a problem. Like in the parable Jesus goes on to tell, the master shows us absolutely astonishing act of forgiveness. And then the unmerciful servant, who's been forgiven, he's been shown this tremendous forgiveness. Trouble is, he's got an anger circuit in his brain. And it's an anger circuit towards one of his fellow servants, who owes him a very small amount in comparison, a very small amount. And instead of thinking to himself, well, I've been forgiven this great deal, it's time I started forgiving, immediately he goes at this servant who owns him a little amount of money, and he has him put in prison. He's got an anger problem, it asserts himself, he loses his head, despite the forgiveness he's received. And Jesus warns us in the most solemn terms about the consequences of being like that unmerciful servant, of storing our anger, and stressing our anger, and exploding our anger destructively. Instead of forgiving. This, says Jesus, remember how it ends? The master has the unmerciful servant put in prison and tortured. Now it's a parable, but it's symbolic of God's punishment. And Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Solemn. We must not let anger build up in our lives. Stressed. Or else it will destroy. It will do destructive things. Just like the stick got broken. Things get broken. Relationships. Lives. Because of stored up stressed anger. And we get broken. And we get destroyed by God. Stormy is the final thing. A person with a simmering anger, apart from getting high blood pressure, will explode in stormy episodes. And one day that offender who keeps skipping the queue will skip the queue one too many times. And instead of you going to them just on account of that one occasion and saying, Can you please not do that? You'll just lose it with them. You'll blow your top. It'll be out of all proportion to the one offence because you've stored your anger over a long period. And that's why people lose their temper, because they've been storing anger. That's why people fight. That's why people shout at each other. That's why couples fight and fall out. That's why Tam gets roasted when Meg gets him home from the pub. That's why little people have wee man syndrome. I had wee man syndrome when I was a kid because I was the shortest guy in my class as well. So I had a lot of trouble. Big chip on my shoulder. A chip on your shoulder soon becomes a sack of potatoes. That's what happens. And so the older brother, he loses it with his father. In verse 29, you can hear him just shouting. He says, "Look, look," he says, "all these years I've been slaving for you." You can just hear the venom and the vehemence in his demeanor towards his father. Because it's not just about this one occasion. It's about all the occasions over the years when he hated his younger brother, when he didn't forgive his younger brother, when he was angry with his younger brother, and when he stored it up. And it just all comes out in this tirade towards his father. And you know what? It doesn't do any good. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't make the situation better. It's destructive. It's hurtful. And it's self-centered. Because it's all about the older brother and how he feels. "I've been slaving. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate," etc., etc. It's all about him. That's what it is ultimately. Anger, when it's explosive like that, is all about you. It's self-centered. It's how you've been wronged and you've been hurt. And you're not thinking about the bigger situation. Now remember, Jesus is aiming this teaching at the Pharisees. The Pharisees, who had a big chip on their shoulder towards the sinners and the tax collectors who were flocking to Jesus. And they were self-righteous. They were oh so good, the Pharisees, and they looked down on those sinners who were going to Jesus. And so you could put into the mouths of the Pharisees similar words to verse 29 and verse 30. The anger of self-righteous people, you see it in church. They're saying to God, look, all these years they're saying, "I've been coming to church. I've never disobeyed you much, God. I never got to the Lord's table though. But when this worst sinner in the village who squandered his life disobeying you, God, is converted, he gets a big fuss made over him or made over her and welcome to the Lord's table. Where here I am, I've been a good boy and I've done my best." That is the Pharisaic anger, the self-righteous person. And God is warning us about it today, very solemnly. Because if this stormy response is familiar to you, it's as a result of unforgiveness that you in your life have nursed your wrath to keep it warm. You've stored it, you've stressed it. Stored it and stressed it, and perhaps it's time to let go. Time to let go. So finally, what do we do with our anger? What do we do with our pressure cooker anger? Well, the best thing is never to let it begin. And that's Jesus' counsel. Forgive every time. 70 times, 7 times. If it's righteous anger, if it's anger that's just, then find an outlet. Find a way to do something positive with the anger so the anger gets diffused and something constructive happens. But if it's not righteous anger, if it's inappropriate anger, then think about it. Why am I the unmerciful servant? Why am I getting so angry with my fellow servant who owes me a small amount when I've just been forgiven this vast debt? I should be more forgiving and I must start now. Reason about it. Older brother, well, Dad forgave and he's the one that really had the wrong done against him. I should forgive too. If your anger is inappropriate, you've got to find a reason. You've got to find a right way of thinking to get out of it. And Jesus taught that the best way, in fact the only way ultimately, to prevent anger from being stored is daily forgiveness. 70 times 7. Like the Lord's Prayer, when we say it, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're talking about a daily prayer. Give us today the bread we need today, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Daily forgiveness, daily bread. Just as much as you need that square meal every day, you need to forgive every day, is what the Lord's Prayer is saying. And if we do that, then Kate in Tam O'Shanter, the older brother, the unmerciful servant, they don't get stressed. They don't get stormy. And nor do you. You keep your heart free so that when the younger brother returns, you're ready to welcome them. And the challenge from the parable of the prodigal son to you and to me is not to be like the older brother, but to be like the father. To be forgiving as the Father is forgiving. And maybe you're saying to me, "But Roddy, it's too late for me. I've already stored up a lot of anger in my heart." Then maybe you need what I would call the big forgive. In 1995, I forgave my father. I can tell you the day, the hour, the moment, the context, everything. Because I recognized, probably for the first time really, how much anger I had stored up. And under the guidance of a senior Christian leader, I was able to just let go. And something physically actually popped in my head. And it was just like a huge release. It was a massive transformation. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need the big forgive. See, the problem was, I was an angry person. But because I was angry, and it was just a way of life, I didn't really recognize that I didn't have to be like that. Until a senior Christian pointed it out to me. "You've got to forgive him, Roddy." I remember his words. "You've got to forgive him, Roddy." And when I did, there was a tremendous release. Maybe there's someone you've got to forgive. In the big forgive. Like the older brother, you've got a place and boy, you're angry. But it's destructive. And you've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. Otherwise it will destroy relationships. And it will destroy you. That's what the master did. He did the big forgive towards the unmerciful servant. And that's how God forgives. He does a big forgive. When we can't turn to him and seek his mercy. Maybe one of the ways that I needed forgiveness most from God was because I was so unforgiving and had stored up anger as a result. Maybe that's true in your life. You need to be forgiven for being unforgiving. And you need to be careful when you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive me as I forgive others," because you're actually asking God not to forgive you because you don't forgive others. We need to receive God's big forgiveness, and we need to show big forgiveness, and then we need to show daily forgiveness so that our anger is diffused. And we need to find positive things to do with our anger, so that relationships are built and restored and developed, nourished strengthened and not destroyed. And most of all, so that our relationship with God is strengthened and deepened because we forgive as He forgives. Forgive one another, says Paul, as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. We're going to sing now Psalm 37. I suppose, in the Red Book, Psalm 37. And verses 1 to 9. Psalm 37 in the Red Book, verses 1 to 9. I should say that there is a cup of tea in the church hall next door, as always, and you're very welcome to go through for that. It'd be good to have some fellowship after the service, some continued fellowship. 37, 1 to 9. And the reason I've chosen the psalm, I think as you sing it, will be self-explanatory. So let's stand to sing. Psalm 37. Almighty God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, rest upon and remain with each one of you and enable you to show forgiveness now and always. Amen.